Dear Muslims, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting on one of the roofs of the houses of Medina, and two or three companions were sitting with him, and he looked to the city of Medina. It was a calm and clean and crisp day. And he said, "What do you see?" They said, "A beautiful sight. We see the people of Medina, the houses of Medina." He said, "As for me, I see trials and tribulations falling upon you like the drops of rain. You are unaware, you are oblivious. But I see fitan, I see tests, tragedies, calamities falling upon you like the drops of rain." And this motif, this concept of warning the ummah of difficult times to come, this is a common thread in so many traditions. In fact, many of our classical scholars even wrote entire books or chapters about the chapter of trials, the chapter of fitan, the chapter of impending dooms and warnings of what's going to happen. In another hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every single generation will actually face more trials than the previous ones. Generally speaking, the fitan, the temptations, the problems will increase as you get closer to Judgment Day. In yet another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us that fitan or trials will be exposed to us continuously. So much so, he said, like a carpet weaver is weaving a rug, one line or one strand after another, so too you're going to have to face one tragedy, one trial after another. And during times like the ones we live in, these traditions frequently come to our mind. And we should take comfort and solace in these prophecies. Why do you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us of the impending increase of difficulties? Did he do so in order that we despair, or did he do so that we prepare? He did so that we are prepared. We understand. We are facing this reality. And subhanAllah, every single week or every single month, so many changes happen. At the international level, we are still looking at the reality of Gaza, and the situation does not seem any better than it was weeks or months ago, from despair to despair. At the national level, and the elections, and who is coming in, who is coming out, and the rhetoric about this regard. At the domestic level and the city level, and one scandals after another. And no doubt at our personal levels, every one of us is dealing with personal trials, personal tragedies. There's grievances of the heart. There's families that have been broken apart. There's finances that we're dealing with. There's health issues. It is as if the list is never ending. It is as if literally it's not going to stop. And this is where we need to take a step back and take comfort and guidance from the Quran and from the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In today's brief khutbah, a generic khutbah, even though we are speaking in a week full of so many issues, still the khutbah will be about all and about the specific and beyond this of relevance every single week, inshallah ta'ala, of our lives. Five simple points that we can derive from the Quran and the Sunnah. The first of them, let us take comfort. Let us find solace. Let us find peace in understanding the wisdom of why life is so difficult. Why is there one calamity after another? Why is there one tragedy after another? Why is there one bad news after another? Remember, O Muslims, this is not happening from randomness. Anything that happens, it is happening from the qadr of Allah. Nothing happens except Allah has decreed it, Allah has written it. And there is a wisdom. There is a wisdom in the plan of Allah, even if we do not understand that plan. Understand, O Muslims, that one of the most obvious wisdoms is that Allah wants to see how we navigate life through these difficulties. We need to understand every single tragedy, every single suffering, every single irritation or nuisance or calamity that happens in our lives. It is in fact a mini test or a large test, depending on how big the calamity was. Allah wants to see what our reaction is, what our response is. It is not happening from randomness. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We're going to test you with good and with bad as a fitna, as a means of testing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To see who amongst you does the best of deeds. Everything that happens to you, there is no randomness. It's not just happening spontaneously. It is Allah's qadr. It is Allah's decree. Take comfort that Allah has a plan. This is all planned out. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Nothing will happen to me except what Allah has decreed for me. And Allah is my mawla. Allah is my protector. He will not put me in circumstances that are meant to fail me. He will not put me in a situation that is meant to cause my tragedy. No! Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. No one will be tested with something that is more than what they can bear. And so every test that we do, every tragedy that we face, Allah has put us in it, knowing we can pass that test, knowing we're able to overcome the difficulties and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this applies to each and every aspect of our lives, from the biggest, what is happening in Gaza, to that which is still large, the elections and whatnot, to that which is local and domestic, to that which is happening in your own life. Our Prophet said, never does a tragedy hit the believer, never does anxiety or stress or any type of grievance hit the believer, even if it is a thorn that pricks him, even the smallest thing, except that through it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow some sins to be forgiven and his rank to be raised up, if obviously they are patient in response to that. So understand that the purpose of these difficulties is not just random. Take comfort. Allah Azza wa Jal wants to test us to raise our ranks. He wants to test us to bless us. He wants to test us to forgive us. He wants to test us to give us, insha'Allah ta'ala, the highest place of Jannah. Put your trust in Allah. Have yaqeen that Allah is setting you up to pass you, not to fail you. Allah is setting you up to raise you, not to debase you. Put your trust in Allah and then navigate through difficulties, having that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This leads me to my second point. Throughout all of these tests, throughout all of these trials, as you encounter one difficulty after another, take comfort in another reality. And that reality is, to pass that test, to earn Allah's reward, doesn't mean that that difficulty disappears. It doesn't mean that you shall attain success over that particular tragedy. May Allah protect all of us. If somebody afflicted with cancer, does passing the test mean the cancer is gone? No, not at all. Whether the test, whether the pain, whether the suffering remains or not is irrelevant to passing the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you and Allah will reward you not based upon the output, not based upon the result, but based upon the input and the effort. Once you understand this point, you will cheer up. You will feel optimistic. You cannot fail the exam of Allah. There is no failing the exam of Allah if you try your best. As long as you put in the effort, as long as you have yaqeen in Allah and you did whatever you could, even if the world says you failed, in the eyes of Allah, you have passed. Why? Because the only failure is when you literally give up and say, I cannot do anything. That is failure in Allah's eyes. Otherwise, as long as you strive, as long as you put in whatever you're humanly capable of doing, we might not solve all the problems of the world, but Allah is not going to judge us based upon the output. Allah will judge us based upon the input. And if we did everything we could, no matter how useless the world might think it is, even if the greatest engineering, mechanisms come to try to get rid of us, even if we lie abandoned in a building, having our hands and our feet blown off, and these instruments of death come, and we are dying, we are starving, and all that we have is a stick in our hands, and we take that stick, and we throw it at that instrument of death, even then, we have succeeded, and we are victors, even if the world doesn't understand, Allah will bless that one stick. And Allah will bless that one throw more than Allah will bless many dozens or millions of people, because izzah comes in effort. Izzah comes in not giving up. Izzah comes in understanding and recognizing that Allah blesses in this world and most importantly in the next. You will only fail. You will only fail if you don't even try. As long as you try, even until death, then even something like throwing a stick and you don't even know people are watching, Allah will record. And millions, billions will see, and you will inspire people around the world because you demonstrated bravery, you demonstrated tawakkul, you demonstrated real Islamic courage in the face of sheer brutality and depravity and animosity. The only way you will fail is if you don't even try. As long as you try and you put in the effort, Allah will bless and Allah will accept, and you will succeed in the passing of Allah's tests. Understand this point. Whether you pass this dunya or not doesn't mean that you have passed. Whether the cancer goes away or not, whether you attain political victory or not, all of this, of course we want good in this world, but if we don't get it, then the ultimate success is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will judge you not based upon the result, but based upon the effort you put in. Which leads me to point number three, and that is the same thing but put in a different way, and that is that we also take comfort, O Muslim, there is a judgment day and there is heaven and hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this when he mentions the difficulties that the prophets, all of the prophets, and especially the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. When he tells us the difficulties of the sahaba, when he reminds us of the persecution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let them be until the day of judgment. On that day they will see. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mocked, Allah says, let them be. We will see who is laughing on that day. We will see what will be their fate on that day. Question, why is Allah bringing us in the day of judgment when the Muslims are being persecuted? Why is Allah talking about heaven and hell when the situation is so dire, to remind Muslims ultimate success is not in this dunya? Maybe the kafir will get the last laugh in this world. Maybe some of the sahaba, many of them, did not see the conquest of Mecca. That does not make them a failure. Maybe some of them died tortured at the hands of the Quraysh while the Quraysh are laughing. We know this happened, but that is not success. That is not, we are not concerned about the outer image and the PR. Point number three, ultimate success is written with Allah through heaven and through Allah's rida. And that will only be manifested on the day of judgment and afterwards. And as for those who did evil, as for those who did wrong at any level, personal level, community level, whether it was people on people, whether it was nations upon nations, in this world they might get away with it. And that's the sad reality of this world. But in the Akhirah, no zalim, no tyrant, no predator will ever get away with the crimes that they have done. That's why we take comfort in the day of judgment. And we look forward to Yawm al-Hisab. We look forward to Yawm al-Din, Yawm al-Qiyamah. We look forward to when the Mizan are brought out in one series of verses. When Allah mentions the zulm of the zalimeen, Allah says, وَنَضُعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Just wait on that day, the scales of justice will be brought out. So take comfort, O Muslim, that no matter all the tragedy, all the pain, all the injustice, and sometimes injustice goes unanswered in this world, and that is very painful, but you find comfort that in the Akhirah, injustice will never go unanswered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّ وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً. Even if it is the smallest amount, Allah azza wa jal will call it to account. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمِنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. So the third reality, once again we find comfort in believing in Qiyamah, in heaven and in hell. And our goal, our desire is the reward of Allah through Jannah, even if we don't attain ultimate peace in this dunya. In fact, one can even say bluntly, you shall never attain peace in this dunya. This dunya is not the dunya of peace. This dunya is the dunya of tests and trials. Darul ibtila, darul ikhtibar, darul imtihan. It is the akhirah that is darul jaza. And after darul jaza, we want the one abode, darul salam. Darul salam is the abode of peace. Darul salam, when there is no pain, where there is no grief, where there is no worry. Lahum darul salami inda rabbihim. Wallahu yad'u ila daril salam. We want darul salam because ultimate happiness is only over there. You shall never find ultimate salam in this dunya. So take comfort in belief in the hereafter and in heaven and hell. And And this leads me to my fourth point that we derive from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And that is a beautiful phrase that our Prophet ﷺ mentioned, authentic hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ talked about fitan and trial coming to the Ummah. And it's a long hadith, we'll take the one phrase that we need. He said, when you see this reality, when you see people fighting and bickering, when you see people not pious, and these are the people that are put in charge, this is a hadith that people who don't have amana are given amana. We seek Allah's refuge, a'udhu billah. But this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, that the people who are not qualified are put in positions of power and authority. When you see people fighting, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, فَدَعْ عَنْكَ أَمْرَ الْعَوَامِ وَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاصَّةِ نَفْسِكَ. Leave the ribble rabble of the awam, of the masses.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Leave the matter that the masses always talk about and concentrate on your private life and your own personal issues here. This is a beautiful prophetic wisdom. We can't change the whole world. And sometimes when all we do is we get involved in talking about what's happening and talking about global politics and talking about other issues, we do this at an expense to ourselves and our personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Literally, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, get away from the riffraff of the masses. The masses, they talk about everything. Don't immerse yourself in what the masses talk about. Don't immerse yourself in mob mentality. وَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاصَّةِ نَفْسِكَ. And pay attention to your own self. Pay attention to what you can control. I cannot control global politics. I can most definitely control my salah. I cannot control who is elected, who isn't elected. I can most definitely control my wife and my children. I cannot control so many other predators and issues out there. I can most definitely control my own nafs, or I can try to control my nafs. So the Prophet ﷺ is advising us, don't become too involved in that which you cannot change, that which is just talk, that which is just ribble rabble, and get involved with that which you can control. Be more invested in your personal life. Now, an important disclaimer here, I am not saying that we're not aware, or we don't be involved in the political or in the cultural or in the domestic realities. No, there's a healthy middle ground. The Prophet ﷺ literally said, the mu'min who interacts with other believers and is patient at the negativity that comes from them is more beloved to Allah than the mu'min who cuts off and locks himself in his house. So we take this hadith in light of other ahadith. When the Prophet ﷺ said, don't get involved in the ribble rabble of the masses, what this means is, don't overly concentrate on just talking about issues beyond you. Don't become insensitized to just listening to all of the negativity of the world. If all we do is we watch negative news, hear negative news, read about negative news, it's going to cause a negative impact on us. There has to be that balance here. And this is another disease that we have. We want to come across every gossip, every slander, every issue taking place. What do you gain? How will it benefit you? You need to know what you need to know, and then majority of your time, concentrate on that which is beneficial. عَلَيْكَ بِخَاصَّةِ نَفْسِكَ وَدَعْ عَنْكَ أَمْرَ الْعَوَامِ. Memorize this phrase. Concentrate on your own personality and your own personal issues, and leave what the masses are constantly doing. We do not just ride the wave every few days, every few weeks, and anybody who's involved with social media, wallahi, you see this رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ with your eyes. Every few days, a new tragedy, a new drama. And then a few weeks later, you have no idea what happened a few weeks ago. And you're just riding one wave after another. What did you benefit? What did you gain? So learn what you need to learn, but your primary emphasis should be in your personal life, in what you are doing, in the impact that you can have. And the last point of our five talk today, the last point which is explicitly mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to times of tragedy, when it comes to times of trials and tribulations, the Quran and the Sunnah and the Seerah, they constantly remind us of one thing, and that is, no matter how unstable life becomes, no matter how chaotic the external reality becomes, the Quran and the Sunnah remind us, make sure your stability through your rituals and your dhikr remains solid. Make sure, no matter what happens outside, that your ibadah and your ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always remains firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know, Ya Rasulullah, your heart is in pain because of the lies and slander. We know how difficult life is. We know what they say about you. It is not easy for you to hear. What consolation was he said? وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ مَا يَقُولُونَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. So as for you, then worship Allah, do dhikr, do sajda, and be of those who are constantly doing sajda, and worship Allah until the inevitable end comes to you. You will find comfort when you turn away from the dunya and you do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find comfort when you do dhikr of Allah. You will find comfort when you establish your heart to Allah, connect your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عِبَادَةٌ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ كَهِجْرَةٍ إِلَيَّ. Worshipping Allah and doing ibadah during times of chaos and calamity, it is the equivalent of making hijrah to Medina while I am here. Worshipping Allah during times of tragedy equivalent to making hijrah to me while I'm in Medina. And this is a beautiful example. Why? Because Medina was the only safe haven. Mecca, everywhere else, was a chaotic land. And if you went to Medina, you would be in a safe haven. If you were in Medina, you were cut off from all of the trials and tribulations. Our Prophet ﷺ said, when the world becomes difficult, when there's fitan and trial, when things become very awkward, then start worshipping Allah. You will find the comfort of the people around me in Medina. You will find that safe space. And so point number 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very explicitly, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the inevitable ending comes to you. No matter how difficult the dunya is, no matter how unstable the world is, and it is very unstable now, the stability you will find, the comfort you will find, the anchor in your life will always be the routine ibadat and rituals. Make sure those are never affected by whatever else is happening in the world. And when you have these 5 points, insha'Allah ta'ala, you will be able to overcome these tragedies one after the other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all in this world and the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us of those who recite the Quran and follow to the best of our abilities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the Ahl al-Quran. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him for is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Dear Muslims, a part of these calamities that we have discussed is the sad reality that sometimes people whom we trusted, sometimes people who are placed in positions of power, they betray those trusts and they betray what Allah has given them of power. And to Allah we complain, and in Allah we seek refuge. Dear Muslims, realize that even our own community in Dallas is obviously not immune to this reality. And any scandal that happens, any issue that happens, especially amongst people of knowledge, especially amongst people who are supposed to be educators and teachers, it is something that affects every single Muslim. And I have given a longer talk earlier this week. It is online and you can find it online, where I have shared my thoughts in more explicit detail. I want to mention for today that our Imams Committee in Dallas, the North Texas Imams Committee, it has released a public statement about a particular issue that happened, I believe, last week. And we are very clear in this regard that any type of abuse, any type of predatory behavior can never be excused. And we must call this out and take adequate precautions that such a matter can never happen again. And dear Muslims, we understand emotions are high. And it is true, a lot of blame can easily be assigned everywhere. But in the end of the day, we are responsible for ourselves. And the most important defense is our own defense. So, yes, you can point some fingers here and there, whatever it might be, but in the end of the day, what are you and what am I doing to protect our own households? And this is where we have to have that awkward conversation of our own tarbiyah to our children. What are we teaching our children? What are we protecting them from? How much knowledge do they have to be aware of the realities around? And one of the biggest problems, and it is a problem that, wallahu musta'an, it is even awkward to mention in public, but our not mentioning of it does not change the reality. And that is a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. We seek Allah's refuge, and may Allah forgive me for even mentioning these realities, but the reality of pornography and its impact on the average mind. Allahul musta'an. We live at a time, we live at a place where this filth, this evil, it has affected almost the entire globe, and it has caused even our own protected communities, astaghfirullah, to be absorbing these issues and being impacted by them. I don't have solutions, O Muslims. We live at a time and a place people could never have imagined what we see, and the accessibility of this filth, the accessibility of this evil, even young children, just 2-3 searches, and next thing you know, they have the most explicit, the most vulgar. How will it change their mind? How will it? And brothers and sisters, and much can be said here, go listen to psychiatrists who don't even believe in Allah. They don't believe in the Day of Judgment. Listen to their analysis of the harm of this reality. Listen to when they say that they have never seen how the brain has been rewired, how so much impact has occurred amongst a new generation that has been raised seeing filth after filth, seeing nudity after nudity. A'udhu billah wallahu al-musta'an. The amount of mental issues that are taking place, the amount of marriages breaking up, the amount of abnormalities and weird and bizarre fetishes that are rising because of this. Allahu al-musta'an. You don't even need to believe in God to understand how evil this industry is, how filthy this industry is, how much more so when we are believers in Allah and we understand this reality. And O Muslim, a'udhu billah thumma a'udhu billah. But even as a person who is involved in the community, let me say, every one of us imams and shuyukhs, we are fully aware, so many of our own couples, they come to us with this problem. So many of our youth come with this reality. A lot of the adults, they think that we're immune to this. And this is one of our problems. We think that our kids are not going to do it. We think that our youth are not going to go down that path. No, we live in the same world. We're connected to the same internets. Why do you think your son, your daughter is somehow more immune than everybody else? These are realities you need to understand. And there are plenty of programs that can censor this in your own, you know, households. And may I suggest, strongly suggest, that especially the youth, that, oh, parents, do not put access to computers in private places. Put the computer in the living room where they can do their homework and whatever. Install these filters that can, you know, there's good filters out there that can make these sites minimal. But the point is, no matter what you do, our youth are better than us and they're more technically savvy than us. This is the problem. So have conversations with them and bring up not just the religious aspect, which is very important, also bring up the worldly aspect, the harm that these types of things, you know, do. And of course, obviously, there are plenty of halal solutions, and of them is to make marriage easier for our youth, to encourage them to get married, to bless them in halal unions. If we lower the bars of the impediments of marriage, inshallah ta'ala, this will be healthy for our community. So the point is, these types of scandals, wallahi, they are filthy, evil. There's no covering up. At the same time, maybe if they act as catalysts for us to have these conversations, maybe we can try our best to prevent, not everything, we cannot prevent all harm in the world, but we can try to minimize, try to put up barriers to make sure that these things do not happen, you know, more frequently. And as I said, the best defense begins with yourself and at home. The best defense is you yourself taking charge of your children's tarbiyah. You yourself making sure their teachers and whatnot are, mashallah ta'ala, qualified, that there's never any privacy, never any khalwa, that you take them to the public institutions where everybody's sitting together. You yourself have frank conversations with your children. There is no defense after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than this defense. And so I urge all of you to use this evil incident that has happened to have your own soul searching, and to try to find mechanisms in your own household to raise the bar a little bit of protection. Speak to your daughters and your sons. Speak to your children about these realities. When they grow older, then encourage them that if they wish to, we will support their marriage when they're qualified to do so. Help them find spouses so that inshallah ta'ala they can live halal lives, and other mechanisms in this regard. Realize these tragedies can never be prevented 100%, but we can act as in our best capacity to minimize them. And we can have policies in place at the public level, and more importantly at the private level. Most important is, of course, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is impossible that a person who has taqwa can go down that evil path, a'udhu billah. And so concentrate as well on the internal spirituality, on the taqwa. Your children, raise them upon love of Allah, wanting Allah Allah's maghfirah. If your children have love of Allah, then that love will be more powerful than the love of any filth, the love of any fahisha. If they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they have mahabbah, if they want to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically they will rise up above much of this evil and filth. And so instill in them these Islamic values. Lots of dua for them, lots of love for them. Raise them to the best as you can. And yes, if they make some small mistakes here and there, no doubt they're living in an environment, mistakes are going to happen. We're talking about, you know, mistakes that happen to most teenagers. We're not talking about obviously the very evil stuff. If they make these types of mistakes, then khair, deal with them lovingly. Try to correct those mistakes, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us in this regard. And O Muslims, we are one community. We are one ummah. We are one, especially I'm speaking to my community here at Epic. Let us come together. We are all helping each other out. As the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, inshallah ta'ala, I'm encouraging all of us to be that village. All of us over here, let us come together. Let us help each other with our own children, because your children being strong is making my children strong. Your community being healthy is making my community healthy. We are one ummah together. So let us come together and help each other to the best of our abilities, so that inshallah ta'ala, these tragedies are minimal and we can work our way to a better and healthier society.